From Nevada Public Radio, I'm Paul Boger. This is State of Nevada. With more than 300 days of sunshine every year, Nevada has long touted its potential as a source of clean, renewable solar energy. However, earlier this month, the federal government moved to claw back roughly $150 million from the Nevada Clean Energy Fund. It's the state's so-called Green Bank, which helps facilitate financing for residential and other small-scale clean energy projects across Nevada. The money that was cut was part of a larger move by the Environmental Protection Agency that terminated a $7 billion grant program intended to help pay for residential solar projects for more than 900,000 lower-income U.S. households. It's the latest move in the Trump administration's strategy to shift away from cleaner energy back toward more fossil fuels. The cuts also come at the same time Congress voted to end the 30% tax credits many homeowners take advantage of to help offset the costs of home solar development. It's a set of moves that will likely have deep impacts on the state's solar industry and its roughly 8,500 workers. To help me better understand the impact of the federal government's decision to freeze those funds, I spoke with Kirsten Stasio, CEO of the Nevada Clean Energy Fund. Here's that conversation. Kirsten, thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let's talk about the Nevada Clean Energy Fund. First off, for people who aren't familiar with you or the organization, what do you do?
Yes, so the Nevada Clean Energy Fund is a nonprofit organization that was established by state legislation in 2017 to provide financial assistance to Nevadans to access clean energy opportunities.
So what does that mean?
So it means in practice, we're providing financial assistance, education, and technical assistance to a wide range of Nevada stakeholders, affordable housing developers, small businesses, individual households, so that they can take advantage of cost-saving opportunities like energy efficiency, solar on their roofs, and vehicle electrification opportunities as well.
Many call the Nevada Clean Energy Fund the Green Bank. What does that mean?
Well, green banks are designed to braid multiple sources of funding together in order to remove barriers for individuals, businesses, et cetera, to take advantage of clean energy measures. So that means that we're taking advantage of private capital, we're taking advantage of public capital, philanthropic, as well as federal, but primarily federal funding to deliver these programs that are much needed by Nevadans.
All right, let's talk about that $150 million that was earmarked for the Solar for All program. That was part of a larger Biden administration initiative, $7 billion across the country, which was supposed to go to low and middle income households so they could develop more rooftop solar. What was that money earmarked for in Nevada?
Yeah, so our $156 million award from the federal government was meant to go towards building solar that ultimately benefits low-income households and provides reduced utility bills and also creates quality jobs in the state in the process. So we were awarded those funds in the spring of last year. And since then, we've been working to stand up programs for single-family households to put solar on roofs, for multifamily affordable housing, and for community solar projects where we take the benefits from those projects and transfer them to households that wouldn't otherwise be able to have solar on their roofs because they're renters or they live in an apartment building. We also had workforce development programs that we were developing to make sure that we had the quality workforce to deliver these programs with the goal of ultimately the program reducing utility bills for 50,000 Nevadans and creating 900 clean energy jobs.
So you got this money last spring. It sounds like there were a lot of plans for it already. The federal government has clawed that money back, which means you don't have access to it anymore. Does that mean that they're going to also come for the money you've already spent?
Well, what we've already spent is actually not going to get clawed back because we spent it under a valid legal contract with the federal government. It's more that what we had planned to spend and deploy into projects, which you're right, we had lots of these funds committed towards different projects, different programs, and had just announced our first multifamily affordable housing project here in Nevada. It's the Empowerment Center's second development here in Reno, serving in particular women in recovery who are looking to become productive members of society. And we were really excited about the opportunity to support their mission and that effort. And we had multiple multifamily affordable housing projects that were in the late stages of signing commitments to receive these funds as well. And we had also launched our applications for single family households to participate, and we're processing those. So yeah, these funds were meant to, we were working really hard to get them into the hands of Nevadans. And the federal government last week on Thursday sent us a termination notice associated with the grant funds, which means that we no longer have access to do this important work.
So where does that leave the fund?
Well, it means that we can't continue to implement our Solar for All programs, and that there are a lot of Nevadans who were counting on getting access to these funds so that they could lower their utility bills who aren't going to be able to do that. From the Nevada Clean Energy Fund standpoint, we still have other programs that we're implementing with other sources of funds, but those are much more limited in scope and in scale, and also in terms of the ultimate benefits that they can provide to households. With these other programs that we have less flexible funding, so we're not going to be able to deliver those deeper utility bill savings that the Solar for All program was meant to have.
And what do you think the impact is to the solar industry?
Yeah, I think it has a huge impact. We work very closely with our solar contractors across the state to implement our programs, including Solar for All. And we've heard from several of our contractors that this termination is going to significantly negatively impact them, particularly given the solar tax credit rollbacks that have already happened as a result of the budget reconciliation bill passed in July.
Given that this money is just not there at this point, is there anything the state can do to offset those clawbacks?
I think that the federal government can still replace these dollars because we had and still have a valid legal contract with the federal government to implement these funds. And I think that the Solar for All program, both in Nevada and across the U.S., there are 59 other awardees under the Solar for All program across the U.S., aligns very well with the current administration's priorities in terms of reducing energy costs, energy affordability, energy resilience, energy dominance. And I still think there's a chance that the administration realizes that this program can continue to benefit and should be reinstated. I think in Nevada, we have benefited from some state support that has been catalytic in helping us secure other sources of funds, whether that be federal and private. And so that continued support can help the Nevada Clean Energy Fund do our work in a sustainable and enduring manner, because it's needed here in Nevada, right? 1 in 4 Nevadans face energy insecurity, whether that means foregoing food and medicine to pay their utility bills or keeping their homes at unsafe temperatures because they're afraid about what their utility bill is going to look like at the end of the month.
Kirsten Stasio, CEO of the Nevada Clean Energy Fund, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the Environmental Protection Agency's recent decision to claw back roughly $150 million in federal money that was earmarked for the state's Solar for All program. The clawbacks come at the same time that Congress voted to end 30% tax credits that homeowners were already using to offset the costs of home solar development. So, with incentives ending and subsidies dwindling, how will the state's solar industry fare? For that, I spoke with Eric Haskell and Riley Kate, the co-founders of Sagebrush Energy in Reno. Eric, Riley, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks for having us.
Eric, tell me a little bit about the company. What does Sagebrush Energy do?
Sagebrush Energy is a residential solar installation company here in Reno, based in Reno. We do solar panel and storage installations for consumers all over northern Nevada. We're a local company with local employees going to consumers' homes, getting up on the roof and providing them, economical energy through solar and storage batteries.
So those 30% tax credits that homeowners and businesses could use to get a rebate on their solar installation, how important has that been for your business?
It's been important, Paul. Obviously, a 30% discount on something motivates behavior. So for those who have tax exposure, it's been an important mechanism to get them into solar. I will say it's not the only motivating factor. We have a lot of people who have other motivations rather than purely tax credits, whether it is contributing to a better environment. Increasingly, especially here in northern Nevada, where we've got a lot of power outages, we're putting about 90% of the solar systems that we put on roofs are attached to battery systems to give people resilience in times of power outages. So while we're very disappointed in the tax credit going away unexpectedly, We're confident there are plenty of other motivating factors, but we do encourage people who want to get the tax credit to do it by the end of the year, because the tax credit does expire at the end of the year and the systems need to be installed by the end of the year. So we're still bullish on the solar industry going forward, but we do encourage consumers, if they want to take advantage of the tax credit, to do it right away.
Just in general, how important are these sorts of incentives to your industry?
I do think that they're radically important. I think that they give people a reason or a secondary reason to make a financial decision that is supporting an infrastructure in itself for their own home. And when you look at, you know, other energy channels and the government support that they receive, and the fossil fuel industry is still the most heavily subsidized industry that we have. And so it's critical that we've got aligning factors that allow for individual homeowners to choose where they get their electricity from and what that looks like. So it's definitely a big factor. That is why we are seeing this short-term spike of people trying to get in before this deadline. So to Eric's point, I want to just echo that again for any listeners out there. If you are thinking about it and you have the tax appetite, now is the time to really look into it, to try to get yourself, installed and operational before the end of the year. That being said, with the changes that are happening post One Big Beautiful Bill, it is going to be a little bit more difficult. I'm sure we will start to see some sort of a transition or a lull in the hockey stick at the end of the year as people were scrambling to try to take advantage of current incentives. However, your point around inflation does still have an impact on this industry, in the sense that even as short as a few years ago, the economics of solar rarely made sense in Northern Nevada due to the low cost of electricity that we have here in comparison to our neighbors to the west of us in California. As NV Energy continues to increase rates, which we don't see stopping at any point soon, the economics continue to get better and better within this region, whether you have a government subsidy or tax credit or not.
So last week, the EPA decided it would, in fact, claw back about $150 million that was dedicated for the state's Solar for All program. Have you heard about that? And how do you think it will affect your business, your industry?
We were very excited about the Solar for All dollars, and the 150 some million that was earmarked for Nevada was part of a larger $7 billion that federally had been committed under the previous administration. And it was particularly exciting for us because the idea there was to bring solar to low and medium income families. And so we were definitely interested and excited about being part of that. And obviously, you know, $150 million coming into the local economy to support solar going away is a disappointment. Now, we've got our plans to continue to serve that community. And related to a previous comment I made about the state stepping in, we're hopeful that maybe there'll be some state policies that'll be supportive of that. And I will say, Paul, I do expect that the revoking the $7 billion Solar for All money will be challenged in court. So I'm hoping it's not a final decision. I'm hoping the courts will step in and perhaps we can still have access to those funds.
There are some who argue that by removing these tax incentives, you're actually going to help drive out bad actors, those fly-by-night contractors who just won't do the job or can't do the job. Have you heard that argument before, and what do you make of it?
Absolutely. I think that it's a good silver lining to try to put on a pretty ugly package that is not as favorable for consumers by removing this tax credit. To Eric's point, we were disappointed to see it go away. That being said, though, the hope would be that it does remove a lot of these bad actors, that it stabilizes the industry, allows those that are giving the right experience, that are, honestly communicating what this is going to do for you and what you could potentially take advantage of from an incentive standpoint, to stick around and create some stability. And to the point made earlier, we're seeing such an uptick in customers that are less interested in potential savings or ROI anymore. They're more interested in independence, sustainability, and knowing that they're going to be able to power their home when the utility outages happen. So the storage factor is continuing to drive volume for us, and we anticipate will continue to drive volume for us well beyond the end of this year.
That was Sagebrush Energy co-founders Eric Haskell and Riley Kate. Before that, I spoke with Kirsten Stasio, CEO of the Nevada Clean Energy Fund.
This has been KNPR's State of Nevada. It's produced in Las Vegas by Nevada Public Radio. You can support thoughtful and engaging conversations just like these about issues that matter most to you by becoming a member at knpr.org. Also, for the latest news and updates, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Blue Sky at Nevada Public Radio. You can also get in touch with us by sending us an email to son@knpr.org. I'm Paul Boger. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.